back together again, all of us, you and I, chatting it up on Tuesday, March 12, 2024, on Connecticut Today. I kicked off the show wondering where all the promised election law upgrades are in the wake of the Bridgeport mess as we hit the midpoint of the current legislative session. State House Republican leader Vin Candelora talked about a proposed roadmap to an electric vehicle mandate in Connecticut, while Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio stopped by for her weekly segment, and she took a closer look at that roadmap as well. So if you gander at the calendar here, whether it's on your computer, on your phone, on your digital device, or like me in this studio here at WICC, you've got, when all else fails, a plain old nice paper display calendar stuck up on the wall. You'll see that we are about halfway through the month of March already, end of this week, and the weekend will make the halfway point of the month of March, and roughly the halfway point of the current legislative session in Hartford, roughly running February, March, and April. It's the short session this year because it's an election year, and the men and women in Hartford have built themselves in a favor and made the short section short in the election years so they can get away with doing less, and this way there won't be threats to them being reelected in November. But I digress. So the legislative session, roughly 3 months long, and I believe the final week actually leaks into early May. I think the adjournment date is May 6th or May 7th or something like that, and it started off in early January. But basically, February, March, and April. Okay, the long session runs till the middle of the year next year. In the odd years, which is when they turn the screws on us with taxes and fees and everything. But on the even years, it's generally a short section, 3 months. Now, why do I bring this up? Well, a couple of things reminded me of something today, which I touched on about 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to keep touching on. The fact that here we are in the middle of this legislative session. We're already halfway through, give or take another week or so. So we're halfway through a session. Just weeks or months after we had everybody and their grandfather and their mother on the Democratic side of the aisle saying, hey, we got to make some changes. After what happened in Bridgeport, oh, man, we cannot let that happen again. These absentee ballot shenanigans here in the first primary, the first of round four, two primaries, two general elections. Mayor Joe Gannon versus John Gomes, right? After the first round, everybody came out of the woodwork. You know what the judge ended up ordering. And everybody, oh, we're going to make sure this doesn't happen again. We need, and the governor's office is saying, and the secretary of the state's office is saying, and some legislators are saying, hey, we've got to make sure this doesn't happen again. Halfway through, have we seen anything yet? Now, maybe it's coming. Maybe if there are people listening in the legislative process that could learn me something, maybe it's coming, but we're halfway through. Is the leadership in Hartford, of the majority in Hartford, are they just going to drain the clock on this one? Is this the old, you know, the four corner stall here? There's an old basketball term. We go in four corners here? We just trying to take the air out of it? Why do I say this? Well, two things. And I've kind of been keeping this in mind. But come on, this is not going to be any substantial change. Now, I know about every week or so, Governor Lamont's office coordinates with, you know, the Secretary of the State's office, Secretary Stephanie Thomas. Well, we're going to suggest these things to the legislature. Well, what makes you think they're going to do any of this? Again, let me ask you again, what makes you think that the party in power that controls Connecticut, once you get out of the cities and in Hartford, why do you think they're going to do anything to clean up the process? Now, maybe they will, and maybe, hark, I'll be pleasantly surprised. So, you know, I looked up at the calendar today, and then I read these two things, and Chris had one in his news. The Bridgeport Democratic Town Committee has reelected Wanda Jeter-Pataki to be its vice chair. Story today also in Hearst, Connecticut media. The overwhelming vote in support of Jeter-Pataki comes as she is under investigation for multiple alleged violations of campaign election law. Now remember, she's got stuff hanging her head from hanging over her head from 2019, not just what happened in September. Let's not forget about 2019. The Democratic Town Committee also reelected Chairman Mario Testa to another two-year term. The committee of 90 members represents 42,000 registered Democrats in Bridgeport. Folks, people, here's my point. That's part one of my point. Part one, people don't want change. They don't, look, here's the bottom line. For a lot of voters, not all, if the cops come, if the fire department comes when you call, if the streets get plowed, if the garbage gets picked up, if occasionally you get a street repaved, if occasionally you get sidewalks redone in front of your house, if, you know, occasionally you build a new school here and there, or one school gets renovated, or you get a new stadium built or a new amphitheater, people don't care. They don't care. You have a handful who want good, clean government. But nobody cares. I shouldn't say no one cares, but a lot of people don't. Again, we are halfway through the legislative session. And look, there is nothing I would rather be on this issue than wrong. I hope tomorrow, Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday, or next week, there's news, you know, blaring from the web pages that cover Hartford, or from people that I know in Hartford saying, hey, there's an election bill coming down. Have we seen it yet? The only thing that we've seen is no votes from Democrats in Hartford on stuff that the Republicans just suggested we look into. And of course, they roll out the D word, disenfranchise. We can't do this because it may disenfranchise people, because Lord knows it's hard to vote, isn't it? Well, I got to tell you, it's hard to vote. I don't know how people do it. I don't know how millions of people around the country and around Connecticut and hundreds of thousands in the state, local races all around the world and the country, how are they able to vote? Oh, my God. It's so horribly hard, right? We don't want to disenfranchise anyone. So here we are, approaching the halfway point, at the virtual halfway point, given a few more days. Have we heard anything? You tell me. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Have we heard anything from the State House or the State Senate majority leadership up there about cleaning up the elections or making sure whatever happened in Bridgeport in 2019 and 2023 doesn't happen again? No, we're talking about EVs. We're going to have this EV thing again. We've got a green bill now. Oh, the governor can create an emergency with climate change. How about that election stuff? Shh. Don't say anything. Seriously. Am I reading this wrong? You tell me. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Again, folks, it's the short session this year for the General Assembly. February, March, and April. Beginning of May, it's already done. We're already in the middle of March. And then you know what they'll try and do? At the end of the session, they'll introduce some bills that'll look nice. Or we get stuff like this. Now, I told you about Wanda Jeter-Pataki getting reelected as, you know, vice chair in Bridgeport. And I'm like, well, what in the hell is going on in Hartford to make sure that, you know, little stuff like Ms. Jeter-Pataki is accused of, innocent until proven guilty, allegedly. I get it. Why don't we make sure that that stuff never happens? Again, so I see an op-ed in the Hearst papers from State Representative Matt Blumenthal, Democratic State Rep Matt Blumenthal, who's a very influential Fairfield County legislator, who is affiliated and chairs the General Assembly's Government Administration and Elections Committee, or is one of the co-chairs of that, I figure. So I saw this piece. I said, well, maybe this is it. Maybe this is his way of introducing some stuff that'll make sure that the stuff in Bridgeport, A, doesn't happen again, and or B, if it happens again, there's stiffer penalties. But what I see here is not that from Matt Blumenthal, and I guess some people who have signed on to this. We're going to protect our elections because Mr. Blumenthal is talking about a Michigan elections official in 2020 being threatened, a man in Florida showing up at a polling place, asking whether he should kill the elections workers, other places around the country. And I'm not saying these are things that should be brushed aside. These are serious issues. So he has introduced a bill. Now, does this bill clean up the absentee ballot process in the state? No. Does it lengthen prison terms for people caught playing around with absentee ballots? No. Does it make automatic jail time proper for anyone who is, again, playing with absentee ballots, ballot harvesting? No. They've introduced an act concerning the security of certain election workers and election-related locations. Now, again, if you read the bill, there's nothing wrong with any of this in the bill. It protects the identities and home addresses of certain election workers. Okay. It would prohibit the possession of firearms or other deadly weapons near polling locations. Depends how close. That'll probably get challenged in court. And it would enact measures to deter threats, doxing, and other harassment against election workers. Okay, everything sounds great in this. And Representative Blumenthal puts, most importantly, this bill sends a message to all who would threaten our elections and election workers that the state of Connecticut won't stand for such conduct. Okay, that's all fine. Representative Blumenthal, Matt, with all due respect, what about doing something which I guess comes under the purview of your committee? How about introducing the stuff that people really want to hear? Coming off the mess in Bridgeport in 2023 and the alleged mess in Bridgeport in 2019. Or do we get the impression that people just want that to go away? Hey, Vin, it's Paul here. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good, Vin. All right. Lay out for us what is happening tomorrow. What's the caucus position on this? And was there really this whole mandate never really faced a death, did it not? Even after some Democrats a couple of months ago on the Regulations and Review Committee pulled their support for this. So after they pulled the support, Vin, lay out for us what exactly has brought us up to tomorrow.
Sure. Well, where the state of Connecticut is right now is we have a law on the books that says that we need to follow the California Clean Emission Standards. So Connecticut is under obligation to do what California does by way of their vehicle regulations. So the fight for, you know, the electric vehicle mandate continues. And what the Democrats did is they have suddenly raised a bill to create a roadmap to implement that mandate. And we are renewing our opposition, and what Republicans are saying is that we should stop following California like so many other states have done and focus on the federal standards, where EPA has even pulled back a little bit. They are, you know, looking at phasing in electric vehicles, but not starting out with a mandate. What they're saying is let's look at clean air standards and try to achieve those standards. Let's look at hybrid vehicles and other alternatives rather than just, you know, banning gas-powered vehicles and forcing everybody to drive these electric vehicles that, you know, only have an average of 200-mile range.
So, Vin, you and Senator Harding, you put out a statement that I'm reading here online. You're talking about a public relations tool, I think were the quotes in this joint statement. So get into that a little more if you can. What are we going to hear about this tomorrow, And why do you apparently have doubts about it?
So on the one hand, Democrats are saying this is a nothing burger. It's only a commission. We just want to look at the issue. But on the other hand, the reality is that the state law is still tying us to California. So while these guys are saying we're just going to have a commission to study it, well, that study is to implement a mandate. And so what we're saying is we shouldn't be moving forward with any commission. We should be focusing on determining whether we want to go by way of California or do we want to follow the rest of the 35 states, you know, like Ohio and Pennsylvania and Florida that are looking at federal standards. And so, you know, that's what we're trying to get across. And, you know, the Democrats don't want to have that conversation. They only want to try to create a roadmap to force us into purchasing electric vehicles.
You know, listen, and Vin, I know you're a businessman on the side. I am not. But one thing I do know is that if you create a market for something and you tell the consumer the other stuff you're going to have to worry about in the market, like charging, like accessibility to charging, like a good grid in this case, the infrastructure, then if that's all there, if we attack that first, I don't think you'll need a mandate. I think people are smart enough, Vin. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I don't think I am. But I think consumers generally are smart enough to know when the right time may be for them to buy an electric vehicle.
Yeah. And that's the federal government approach. They're saying, let's work hand in hand with the market and let's see where the technology goes. You know, hybrid vehicles aren't as bad as the electric vehicles for people that need more range, so that flexibility could be there. And you know, a lot of environmentalists I talk to say don't ban the hybrids. What the Democrats' proposal is let's put the ban in place and then figure it out later. And you know, it didn't work for Obamacare, but the difference between Obamacare and what we're doing here is with Obamacare you had the rest of the nation following along with you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some power in that. Connecticut is going to be an outlier, and so we're going to be only one of 10 states that has this California mandate. We don't have market share to really drive the industry. So if the manufacturers say we're not ready for electric vehicles in 2035, you know, we're going to push it out to 2040, Connecticut's going to be left holding the bag of being stuck with vehicles or not be able to purchase vehicles that they need. So it's really strange that they want to assert themselves, the Democrats want to assert themselves in a market that really is much bigger than Connecticut. And that's why I say let's follow the federal, where the federal is working with our manufacturers and figuring out the timeline for what they think electric vehicles would look like 20 years from now.
Yeah.
And frankly, we may find out it doesn't work, you know, for heavyweight vehicles at all, which is not been talked about enough. It's hard enough for a family, I think, to be traveling around in an EV. Let's talk about the impact it's going to have on our cost of groceries and the safety of our roads. When you add 10,000 pounds to a truck and you reduce their cargo space by 30%, and tell them to ship the goods and services for the same amount of money.
Yeah, because the added weight and space, you're right, Vin, on the batteries. I wanted to get you, Vin, on one more quick topic, if I can, if I have here just one question. You know, we're almost halfway through the session, right? I think next week or the week after, maybe halfway through. Are we going to get anything, Vin, on any sort of election reform? I mean, because the dust has finally settled here in Bridgeport and in that area where I am. But I don't know about you, Vin. Are we still waiting for anything concrete from leadership here? We're almost halfway through the session. What's up with that, if anything?
Yeah, it's like there's nothing to see here. I think, you know, our towns need more money to implement early voting. They need more resources. There's a lot of questions that still need to be answered. But, you know, if we're doing early voting, we really should be getting rid of these drop boxes. We need to stop allowing the harvesting of absentee ballot ballots by use of these drop boxes. And, you know, in Bridgeport, we see, you know, the person that was accused of doing it just got reelected vice chairman of her Democrat town committee. So, you know, it's business as usual, you know, in Bridgeport. And I think Connecticut should be embarrassed. The Democrats should be ashamed that they're ignoring this issue and not addressing it, because It is about voter integrity. It is about every vote counts. So not only have you done damage in the city of Bridgeport and allowing that behavior, we know that will continue there, but you've also put everybody, I think, in the state scratching their head and wondering, you know, is Connecticut, do they really care about clean elections? And at the same time, in November, we're going to have another expansion on the ballot to allow for no excuse, you know, absentee ballot voting at a time when, you know, these guys don't want to clean up the mess in their backyard before we move forward on this stuff. So we have proposals that we've pushed, and we're going to continue to fight for them, and hopefully we'll see some changes, especially more money going to our communities so that they can properly run these elections.
Yeah, yeah, maybe, Vin, and who knows what we see out of the governor's office or the secretary of the state's office. Vin Candelora. Vin, take care. Thanks. Good luck tomorrow. We'll talk down the road. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Appreciate it. There you go. So, gotcha. I wanted to ask him because that was my opening today, so I guess he hasn't seen anything either. Oh, man. Yeah, we're halfway through the session, kids. Next week, week and a half. So, look, I want to be wrong on this. I want to say, oh, my God, look at these proposals to tighten up the elections. Now we're talking. All right, maybe. I'm looking at this. Shocking, it says. Gas car ban roadmap due right after Election Day. I'm stunned. What do I keep telling you, folks? Nothing is ever dead here in the state. Megan Portfolio joins us. This in the Hartford Portfolio, YankeeInstitute.org. Megan, good afternoon. How are you? I'm shocked. I'm glad you put shocking there.
Shocking. Shocking is for one split second, I thought, oh, geez, I don't have to write about this dopey gas car ban for a while.
No, and you do.
Here we go again.
No, you do. So we had Vin Candelora on the show a little earlier. He talked about the macro picture, but I guess you've actually, because this is what you do when I guess you're not watching C-SPAN or CTN, you peeled a little of this apart. There's supposedly some public hearing tomorrow, so as best you can tell us, Megan, what is going on here?
Oh, geez, I feel like that meme with Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia with a conspiracy board and all, like, the strings pointing to things.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I feel today.
Okay.
So, all right, so tomorrow there's a public hearing on what they're calling this electric vehicle infrastructure coordinating council, and they're charged with coming up with a
Hold on. What was the name of that organization again? There's a lot of syllables there. What is it?
Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Coordinating Council.
Oof.
Now, if that doesn't tell you anything.
Okay. So what will they be doing?
So they will be coming up with a report with about 15 different items ranging from evaluating the cost associated with zero-emission vehicles, how many chargers we need. It's a whole bunch of information. But the kick in the pants is, let's just say this bill passes.
Okay.
And the session ends in May. The report is due on November 15th, 10 days after the election.
I'm shocked.
You mean to tell me this report's not already done? You know how this government works. Mm-hmm. They ain't doing anything in 6 months.
So you've peeled parts of this, you've gone even deeper into this, into the layers, as we say. I'm sure there are some things in there the common person would be like, oh, all right, whatever. Have you found anything, Megan, that you went, hey, wait a minute, what is this? And I know one thing you talked about in previous weeks was this ability to declare like a climate emergency or something. Is that still in there? What have you found?
Yeah, so this. So now I'm going to sound like a Quentin Tarantino movie where I'm all over the place.
Excellent, excellent. I love his movies, the best.
Okay, so at the face value, this bill, it sounds like, oh, no big deal. But now you have to look at all the other bills the environmentalists have put in this year, like the Green Monster, for example. In the Green Monster, Katie Dykes, the commissioner of DEEP, is advocating for more regulatory authority because she's not able to meet our statutory requirement for greenhouse emissions without money and without more power. So if you couple that with this bill, this roadmap is done right after Election Day where no one's held accountable. Commissioner Dykes can take that roadmap and just do what she wants if the Green Monster passes. Now, if that doesn't work, we still have SB 11, which that would grant the governor civil preparedness emergency, the ability to declare a civil preparedness emergency because of climate change.
About, wait a minute, hold on. A civil preparedness emergency because of climate change.
COVID-19.
Now, does that mean I have to go in my underground bunker and eat survival food? I mean, what is that?
You know, what are you, Zuckerberg, having that underground
bunker?
I mean, only the lefties had those.
No, in my condo, it'd be under my bed. But no, seriously, am I going to have to eat, like, survival mac and cheese? What are they talking about?
You know, I don't see Governor Lamont being that outrageous where he's going to, I mean, he did shut the state down because of COVID. I don't see him shutting the state down because of "quote unquote" climate change. Okay. I'm doing air quotes right now, but another governor could come in and say, "Gee, you know, the transportation sector is contributing 50% to greenhouse emissions. We need no one goes to work today. I'm declaring a civil preparedness emergency." Hopefully, I'm not giving anyone any bad ideas.
Yeah, please.
But I'm just he could or she could do that, and. They could possibly ban gas cars under that civil preparedness mandate. I mean, the governor was able to do a lot of things during COVID in addition to shutting down businesses. You know, he was able to make things easier and revise regulations when it came to telehealth. So, I mean, there are a lot of things that a governor could do with the pen under the civil preparedness. But if none of that works, you've also got, you want to add a constitutional amendment to declare climate change as an emergency. Basically, you know, it's a human right. So because it's a human right, individual citizens could then therefore sue. I don't know. Can they go sue for, hey, all these cars and trucks are contributing to climate change. We're going to sue based on the Green Amendment. So, you know, there's so many different avenues and my head's going to explode.
And, you know, Megan, you mentioned something right at the top of our segment, and you mentioned it in a roundabout way, charging for EVs and costs. It's pretty simple, Megan. Once they get cheap enough, once the price is low enough, and once enough people say, hey, I can do this, I can run a cable out from my apartment, put in a charging station, this will happen naturally. Megan, the market will take over. Everybody needs to relax, take a breath, herb tea and a biscuit, take a breath. once the cars get cheap enough and people can charge them in more spots quickly enough, problem solved.
Or get a hybrid, which are super popular. But here's the problem. But the government needs to stick its nose into everyone's business. Now, it's just going to be like with college. Everyone can get a loan. So the schools, hey, I'm making bank on this. Why am I going to lower my tuition? The money's rolling in. It's not going to stop. What's the car manufacturer going to do? Well, the government keeps sending out these rebates. What's my incentive to lower the price of these cars? So if you get the government out of that, you're going to create that competition. You're going to create the demand. The demand is already growing. People are loving the hybrids.
Yeah.
Like, Let that go. But no. The government knows better than us, and they know better than the market.
Okay.
Even though most of the time, they've never created a job or a company.
So you put here at the bottom of your article here, I'll read it so people can hear this. The public hearing is set for 10 a.m. tomorrow at the time of this article's publication, which is right about now. You did it a few minutes ago. There are 338 individuals opposed to the bill and 21 in support, indicating that 94% of the responses are against the proposed legislation. So let me see, 338 minus 21.
I hope I did the math right.
I'm just saying 338 minus 21, that'd be 318, 317. So that would mean that magically, I wonder if about 300 people in support of this will suddenly show up and pop up overnight and tilt the scales.
Well, to counter that, this is not Bridgeport.
All right.
Just kidding.
Thank you.
To counter that, you can check out yankeeinstitute.org. We have a take action button.
Yeah.
It's easy. You click on the link and it goes right. It'll help submit the testimony. It's super, super easy. So it's yankeeinstitute.org and it's the take action button.
So wait a minute. I can go home tonight and I can type something up, hopefully sober or maybe not. And I can.
You don't have to be.
And And I could just at one click of a button, that'll send it to Hartford? Really? Wow.
Yeah, hopefully they're supposed to be putting it up. I'm checking that. It looked really quick. I didn't see it.
But okay. Right.
Yeah, you can literally, I'm going to double check with my people. But yeah, we actually have the Green Monster bill on there as well.
You
just click on the take action and it'll do it for you pretty much.
You have people? That's pretty impressive. I like that. It's good.
Wow.
That's good. I don't have people. You do, though. See, that's the gravitas of this segment.
Well, how do you think I have all this time to follow all of these environmentalists and Connecticut C SPAN?
YankeeInstitute.org. Of course, check out the Hartford Portfolio. Megan Portfolio's latest piece posted today. Gas car ban. Shocking. Yes. Don't forget that. Shocking. Gas car ban roadmap due right after Election Day. All right, Megan, are you actually going to be watching some of this tomorrow? Tell me you're not.
Oh, heck yeah. I can't wait. Actually, my colleague Bryce Chenault is going to be testifying.
Oh, excellent. Nice. I've had Bryce on a few times. Yeah, cool. Are you like, do they, has CTN, do they give out a Hall of Fame for people who view that? Because you'd be in there. I mean, my God, they have to love you.
I should at least get this program is dedicated to Megan Portfolio. That would be cool.
That'd be great. All right, Megan, thanks. Be good, and we'll talk next week. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
All right, there you go.